Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody doing this morning? I hope you're all doing well. We want to welcome you. And so good to see you, all of you, on this sixth Sunday after Epiphany. And kind of a beautiful day. It's good to see the sun shining so brightly this morning. And what a blessing that is. But we're so glad that you're here and joining with us in worship. And we also want to welcome those that'll be listening later on online. And we're going to be continuing asking the question, who is Jesus really? And we're going to be talking about him as our teacher and encountering him as teacher today. So let's go ahead and begin our service, and let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father.
Let's join together for our call to worship. Let us praise God with open hearts, minds, and spirits.
We are God's servants, worshiping and praying together.
Let us worship God and praise God's holy name.
We seek God's path and listen for Christ's teaching.
Come, let us love the Lord our God. Well, let's join together there. You can turn in your hymn books to 663, Redeemed, or follow along on the PowerPoint there. And we're going to be singing all four verses this morning.
Redeemed, oh, I love to proclaim that. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me shall inly dwell. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child forever. Let's sing the chorus again. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer. Come, Holy One, teach us your ways. Lead us in your paths. Guide us on our journey. Speak to us your words of life. Bless us with your love. Shower us with your grace. And help us grow in faith. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to turn to our next hymn, number 589. O Jesus, I have promised. And we'll sing the three verses of that this morning.
I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Be Thou forever near me, my Master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if Thou art by my side, nor my foes are ever near me, around and in them. But Jesus, draw Thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. O Jesus, Thou hast promised to all who follow Thy servant be. And Jesus, I promise to serve Thee to the end. Oh, give me grace and follow my Master and my friend.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and invite our kids this morning, if they would come our way.
in kindergarten? Okay, yeah. What grade are you in?
Yeah.
Oh, you're in second, okay.
It's 12.
Okay, so we got a variety of them and that are here today. And so let me ask the two of you, I don't know, is he in preschool?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Oh, I know, you can count, okay. How many is that? Oh, your nails, I see that. Yeah, I'll let you after church. You can go around and stomp on all of them if you want to. That won't bother me at all. So let me ask you a question. Do you really like your teacher that you have?
I met Dory and Miss Karen in Minecraft.
Oh, he knows them right off the top, doesn't he? Yes. So are they pretty cool teachers?
Yeah,
I got toys. Oh, yeah, you like the toys, though, don't you? I can understand that. I remember when I was in kindergarten, and my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Timmyus, used to get mad at me because I'd go over and want to play with the toys while she was trying to teach a lesson. So, yeah. Yeah, my mom and dad heard about that. I still remember a lot of my teachers I had in school. And I'm sure as you get older, there'll be some teachers you'll never forget. Yeah, well, you know what? Oh, okay, well, don't pull your shoestrings out. I don't know if Grandma would like that. Yeah, but you know what? Guess who else was a teacher? Jesus. Jesus was a teacher. Oh! And we're just dealing with the flies, aren't we? There you go. I think he's letting out of here. Okay, well, let's hold off on the. You can do that after church. You can come back after church and take care of the flies for me. But, yeah, they're everywhere. Jesus was a teacher, and he taught us all kinds of things. You know, the three most important things Jesus taught us? One, love God. Can you say that? Love God. Say it with me. Love God. That's right. And the other is love people. Other people.
Love people.
That's exactly right. And then there's one more thing that Jesus taught us that's very important. It goes along with loving God and loving people. Yes, so we get three of them up there. And that's what is sometimes called the golden rule. The golden rule is treat other people the way you would want them to treat you. Okay? So, would you want somebody to smack you in the head? No. So guess what that means? Don't smack anybody in the head. Yes. So would you want somebody to share their pencil with you in class if all of a sudden your pencil broke? I would too. Guess what? When somebody in your class needs a pencil and you got an extra one, share it with them. That's what Jesus meant by the golden rule. You treat people the way you want them to. So we love God, love people, and the way we do that is we treat others the way we would want to be treated. Okay? All right. And Jesus was a good storyteller. He told all kinds of stories about farmers and all kinds of them. So, but we won't get into all that. So I'll let you go on downstairs. I know Miss Rhea, she could probably tell you a lot of those stories because I think she's been working on them.
Whew!
Woo, there you go. You can chalk up the killing flies episode. Oh, yeah. Well, the teenagers are already going out. I always forget to dismiss them. So as we go to prayer this morning, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. Somebody this morning. Anybody? Yeah. Okay. So we want to remember Paul this morning,
yes.
Who's going to be going through heart surgery. Someone else?
I haven't spoken.
Okay. And we know the Lord knows that one.
Yeah. One of my friends, her daughter just found out she has breast cancer, and she's just getting ready to start treatment.
Can you share her first name?
Melissa.
Melissa, sorry. So we want to remember Melissa in our prayers, who's going to begin treatment for breast cancer. And I thought I saw a couple other hands.
Also, Koa.
Yeah. Yes, Koa that we prayed for. You know what? I was going to say, can you fill out one of those? Yeah, because we prayed for him last year. He was born and he's got some issues with there. She was sharing with me, and I know Jody, my wife, will know a lot about this. About the way his tongue has formed and everything else in his side, and that's why he's not been able to take a bottle that well, although she said they are starting to get him to do that, but he might have to have surgery, and just several things that going on, I think, that just didn't develop quite. But we want to remember Koa, and I saw multiple other hands.
Phil Wilkins, keep him in prayer.
Yes. You said Callie, didn't you? That's what I thought you said, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I knew who Callie is. I just wanted to make sure that's who you said, yeah.
And also Lisa Maxson. She's still in the hospital.
Oh, she's still in the hospital. Okay. Is she at OSU?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yes, I had never gotten any kind of an update. I just know that surgery went well and she got through it okay, and I hadn't heard any more, so... okay, there's several other hands I saw. Where are they? Wasn't there? Yeah, go ahead.
My sister Mary fell and broke her ankle in the nursing home.
Oh, wow.
And the rest of the unspoken.
Okay. Okay, and someone, yeah.
Rex North, he has a blood infection.
Did you say something with his leg?
A blood infection.
Oh, sorry. I did not hear at all what she said, so. Rex, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we want to remember Rex this morning with a blood infection, Mary with a broken ankle. Any others this morning? Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken. You know, the Lord knows that what those are. Okay, all right. Anybody else? Will we go to prayer? Okay. They mentioned Bill. I was going to mention him. We definitely want to continue praying for him. Richard Walker. He got to come home, but the family thought he shouldn't come home yet from rehab. So it's been really rough, and please pray. I don't know if they're going to still try to. There were some issues with insurance, and so please pray. Maybe they, since he did come home, maybe they can try to get something worked out for PT coming home and working with him there. Very weak, needs a lot of strength. And I saw him earlier in the week at... the home in Tip. I can't think of the name of it. Spring Mead. So, yeah. And so we definitely need to keep Richard in our prayers for strength and some favor there with some of that that's going on. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? All right. So we have several there to mention and lift up to the Lord today. And so as she plays, we'll give you a chance to pray for some of these needs and people that jump out to you, and then I'll come and close us out. Lord, we are thankful today for your presence that is with us. We thank you that you love us so much, and that you care, and that you see when we're hurting, and that your presence reaches out to us to still us, to encourage us, to give us faith when we need it the most. And Lord, we think about those that have been mentioned today. Many of them need your presence today with them right now. And we ask that you would show yourself real to them in a special way as we think about Rex with the blood infection, Mary with the broken ankle, Richard, who just needs strength and help today. For Bill, that needs healing, who is experiencing pain. For Paul, who's going in for heart surgery and needs your guidance with the surgeons, and that everything would go well. And for Melissa, that's beginning treatments with breast cancer, that needs your healing touch. And little Koa, God, that needs your healing touch. I pray that you'll give the doctors wisdom about what needs to be done there. And for Callie with the broken ankle, God, needs your healing touch today. And for Lisa, that's recovering at OSU, God, that you would minister to her and bring healing and strength as only you can do. We think about these four that mentioned unspoken needs today, and maybe others that had needs or thought of people but maybe could not mention them today in situations. God, that you administer and extend your hand. Lord, we pray for some of our own folks that we usually normally see, but maybe they haven't been here this week or last week, and whatever may be going on, God, that you would move and touch them today and be with them. Lord, we pray for the Francis family this morning as Rita is coming into the final days of her life. We pray for your grace and strength for them today. And we thank you for being with them during this time. Lord, we think about those on our monthly list, so many of them that have been battling for so long, and we just pray that you'll continue to give them strength and bring healing and your presence and your touch and your grace and your peace today. We think about our shut-ins, and Lord, we ask that you administer to them and let your peace be with them today. Let them know that you're real and they're not alone in the midst of everything. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for the strength that you give us to carry on each day with the things that we need to accomplish, whether it's work or in retirement or at school or whatever it may involve. We're grateful and thankful that you are with us, guiding us and directing us through it all. And we're thankful for Jesus, our great teacher, who continues to guide us and show us the way and lead us and prompt us through the Holy Spirit, that we might be his servants in this world. And we're grateful and thankful as we ask all of these things this morning. And we pray that your blessing will be upon the rest of the service, especially as we break the bread of your word today. And we look again at Jesus, another aspect of his life and what he means to us today. For we ask it in his name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Thank you for joining with us in prayer today, and thank the Lord for his sweet presence that is here with us in this place today. We have the opportunity now to worship the Lord with our giving. And again, as I say it every Sunday, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your giving. It continues the work of the ministry and our outreach out into our community and world. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Loving God, you have shown us your ways and led us in the paths of abundance. Use our gifts and our lives to shine your realm of love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture readings this morning are coming from three passages. The Matthew 16 passage, once again, we will be reading, which we're going to be touching on every Sunday during the series. And then two other passages I want us to look at, John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through, 19 this morning. So let's begin with the Matthew 16, 15. And what about you? Who do you say I am? And then John chapter 3, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him. And then Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, a nervous bride was concerned that she might not emotionally survive her trip down the aisle to come forward to get married. When she shared her concerns with the minister, he offered her this advice. As you make your entrance, focus on just three things. First, look down the aisle. Then, look at the altar. And then, look at him. And he will be smiling to encourage you as you walk down the aisle with your dad. As she marches down the aisle, the congregation could hear her speaking softly to herself, and they were listening. And this is what they heard. "I'll alter him, I'll alter him, I'll alter him." Did I hear a boo? Oh, I've shared that before, but it's just been a while. I want to talk to you this morning about encountering Jesus as teacher. Who is Jesus really? We've been asking that question. And I've had a lot of great teachers growing up. Almost all of those teachers had an impact on me in one way or another. And maybe right now, some teachers are coming to your mind, their names or their faces or whatever, as they stand out in your head right now. A few stand out for me. Mr. Fark, who got me through junior high math. Oh, thank God for that, for him. I saw him not too long ago up at the in-between in Botkins, I was talking with him a little bit. But Mr. Nufrio, who taught me in high school how to write a research paper, which saved me a lot of headaches when I got to college and had to take Comp 1 and Comp 2. So I was very grateful for him. Mr. Fote, who got me through high school math. Mr. Anderson, some of you know Bob Anderson, that got me through driver's ed. One day we were riding, this is back when three of us would sit in the back and there would be the kid driving and then him. And I remember he grabbed the steering wheel and said, "John, get over, you're going to clip off the backs of the cars," you know, as we were driving down the road around the school. And just some great memories. And then Mr. Kramer, my ag teacher and FFA advisor, who volunteered me for the public speaking contest in FFA, but also pushed me through my years in leadership. Some of my first leadership skills I learned through him. In college, Dr. Bibb, William Bibb, who had pastored for 25 years and was our pastoral care and counseling professor, taught me and modeled how to be a pastor. And Dr. Evans, who Henry Evans, I don't think he's with us anymore, showed me the importance of biblical and theological scholarship and digging and finding out things, and what an impact he made on my life. I think you get the point. But when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about somebody on a different level. When I was reading this, and I didn't even see it when I was preparing my sermon this week, but when I read the passage a little bit ago, my eyes were caught, and my mind was caught for a moment when it says, after he read the scripture and gave the scroll back to the attendant, because there was always an attendant that took care of the scroll and put it back in a little, like a cubby hole, so to speak, and shut the doors, and he sat down. Did you notice Luke said everybody's eyes was fixated on Jesus? And there's something about that. And so as we look at that this morning, I want to talk to you about two aspects of that and how of Jesus as a teacher and how that relates to us today. So the first one is Jesus as a great teacher. Or if you want to say Jesus is a great teacher, that's fine too. Jesus as a great teacher. Now, although we may call Jesus by many names, and some of those we're going to look at in probably the weeks to come, those who knew, if you read the Gospels carefully, those who knew Jesus best mostly called him Rabbi, or Rabbi, it is, great one or teacher. And notice in our John passage today, Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, an expert in the Torah and knew and taught scripture and all of that, notice he referred to Jesus in two ways. He called him Rabbi when he addressed him, teacher, great one. And he said, we know that you are, and he says it again, a teacher from God. Many different people called Jesus Rabbi. And listen to this, of the 90 or so times in the Gospels when people directly address Jesus, roughly 60 of the 90 or two-thirds, they call him Rabbi or teacher. Think about that. So they understood, they saw him that. And by the way, and I didn't know this till I did some research this week. I just thought that that had been around in the intertestamental times and developed there. But I found out that in Jesus's day, Rabbi was a new term on the scene that was not always used. Because today when we refer to, we say rabbi, we think of a Jewish clergy person. But that's not how it meant or what it meant back then. And Jesus is the one that taught us how to be a true teacher from God. Rabbi, as I said, was just coming into use and used for those who taught. Listen to this. It started to be used by those who taught with spiritual authority. We find that several times where the crowds would say, we've never seen a person teach with such authority before. Because he made a connection with his followers. Just like I read a little bit ago, their eyes were fixed on him. Jewish New Testament scholar Amy Joy Levine says this about Jesus. Jesus was the earliest attested, that we know of, person in literature to bear the title Rabbi. In fact, Jesus, as you would think of a good teacher, taught wherever he went. In fact, I mean, if you know any teachers or have been connected with any teachers, we all know teachers love to teach. They'll always use opportunities to teach lessons if they can. And of the one biblical story that we have of Jesus as a kid, guess what he's doing? He's teaching and debating with the leaders in the temple when he was a kid. Luke talks about it. Listen to this. He teaches inside the temple, outside the temple. He teaches on a hillside. He teaches on a lake. He teaches in a field. He teaches by a campfire, at a dinner table, at a wedding. I guarantee you, if Jesus would walk into this place right now, physically, he'd start teaching us. I bet $1 million that's what he would start doing. He would teach us. He taught individuals. He taught his disciples. He taught large crowds. He taught small crowds. He taught religious leaders. He taught his friends and he taught his foes. Jesus was a great teacher. Not only that, Jesus was an anointed teacher. That's why I think the people were mesmerized and fixated on him. Jesus used parables to do this, to shake up people's thinkings about God. I also believe that if Jesus came in here and started to teach, he would probably shake up every one of us, and probably some of us might even get angry at him, because that's just what he did. In fact, the word parable comes from two Greek words, para, which means to come alongside, and the other is balang, which means to throw. So a parable is a story that comes alongside our understanding and throws it upside down. And that's why people got upset with him, if you read the Gospels carefully, because he showed them a different way of understanding God. He turned their view of God and how they thought of him upside down. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a wheelbarrow tip over on you when it was full? I was thinking about this. This is the only illustration I could think of when I was thinking about what Jesus did with parables. Oh my gosh, I don't know how many times I had that happen. Especially when it was really full and heavy and you're holding with all your might to keep it balanced, and then poof. That's kind of what parables did. That's what parables would do. Parables would either leave you curious, frustrated, questioning, in shock, awe, or surprised. And the whole point of a parable was to disturb us, perplex us, shake up what we think is true, all without providing, listen, any easy answers or moral fallbacks. I tell you what, just thinking about this, I probably had more Christians in the years that I pastored say, why? Why is God allowing this? God never gives us easy answers. He asks us to trust and follow and keep going. And even Jesus's teachers, or Jesus as a teacher, did the same thing. Because what was he trying to do? Here's what he was doing. Jesus teaches people to perceive, to see, to understand, to comprehend God and God's ways in a new light. That's why Luke tells us that Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you read on through there what Luke says, Jesus came along and he frees our minds. He heals our spirits. He delivers us from things that cloud our thinking and helps us to live a different way. There's something going on, and I don't know if you've caught it on social media yet. I happen to, because of some of my pastor friends. But something is going on at Asbury University right now. On Wednesday, in chapel, When chapel ended and the service was over and they dismissed, the musicians started to play again and started singing. And people have not left the chapel since Wednesday morning. In fact, people, I've been reading about people from all over the United States that are going there and experiencing. And two testimonies, here's what they said. I was going to go down there to see what was happening. I wanted to find out if it was true myself. I sat down in the chair, started singing with them, and I thought I was going to get up and leave and go. And they said, I just couldn't get up and go. The presence of God was so real. The peace of God was so real. Something's happening. They're calling it revival, but I think they're just encountering. God said, I'm just going to let you see a little bit of my glory. And people are being touched. You can go on YouTube, and if you type in Asbury Revival 2023, you can watch videos of the thing. I watched 2 hours last night, and I started crying at times. I started singing with them at times. I brought it up and brought it up on YouTube on the TV. And that is what happens when God and Jesus show up and do things. I don't know what's all going to come out of that, but it's nothing flashy. They just sing, or they pray, or they go to the altar and pray for each other, whatever. And Jesus's action, that's what's going on. Jesus's actions and teaching inspire people to leave their careers. They were talking about kids that left chapel, didn't want to go to class. And when they got to class, they felt so compelled, they went back to chapel. And they stayed there. They said people's been staying there all night. And that's what happens. Jesus inspires his teachings and his presence and his actions. What he does inspires people to leave a career and go serve him. To follow him. And his teachings invite people into abundant life and open their eyes to a God who wildly loves them. To a God who turns authority upside down and shatters the facades of power. Who proclaims a kingdom of peace. Who invites the poor, the outcast, the forgotten, and the mourning to a table with an unending feast. And he taught and did all of this through love. And we know that because he showed us. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, teachers are often our first heroes in life. They were for me, school, Sunday school. They give us the tools to read, write, do math, follow our dreams. They stand up for us when we're bullied. They encourage us when we feel the sting of failure or open our imaginations to a bigger world than we ever thought. Without good teachers, most of us here would not be who we are. And I think, and as I thought about that, I think the first followers of Jesus felt the same way about him. I know I do. As I've encountered Jesus' teachings and tended to loving God and people and have followed the golden rule, I've flourished and grown. But I've also seen the opposite in my life when I have not followed those things, where I would become more selfish. And I haven't arrived yet. And he's still working on me, making me into his image. And that's why he does all of this. And that's why he does what he's doing down there at Asbury University. Right now, he is transforming people into his image. Who is Jesus? He's our teacher. Maybe you're like me and you've experienced Jesus' teachings. Maybe he's turned your world upside down. And I can tell you all kinds of things as through the years where I pastored when God completely changed my mind about something in Scripture and said, that's not the way it is. And so I started to preach differently. Maybe his teachings have brought you hope and peace and confidence in life to live it fully. Maybe his teachings has challenged you to be a better person. Or, like some, maybe his teachings have meant nothing to you. Whatever the case, you are welcome to experience Jesus anew. To have your eyes open and experience the possibility of healing, hope, and faith. Next week, we will encounter Jesus, the one we know very well, as Savior. Who are you, Jesus? Amen and amen. Well, oh, I didn't even finish that out, did I? Sorry. Somebody should have hollered in the middle of it. So you could have filled it in. Yeah, that would have worked. That would have worked. Yeah, sorry. Let's just go ahead. You can take a moment and shake a couple hands there. And then we'll close out with our little chorus, Praise the Name of Jesus, this morning. You can turn to page six if you'd like to. Let's stand as we close out. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We'll sing it through a couple times here. Praise the name of Jesus. I also heard the kids have something for you as you head out today. So don't forget to grab that. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's sing it again. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go in joy and peace. May the blessing of God, who is source, Savior, and Spirit of life, be with you and those whose lives you touch this day and always. Amen. Amen.